Welcome back to Scripture Ventures, where we seek the wisdom of God like silver and search for it like hidden treasures. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 is among some of the most quoted verses in the Bible. "For I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. We put it on mugs, on journals, graduation cards. And don't get me wrong, it is absolutely beautiful and oh so true. But one day, as I was listening to the entire chapter in my Bible app, I realized if we only pull bits and pieces from God's word, we often miss the depth of what he's actually saying. Jeremiah 29 isn't just a promise about our future. It's a message about being faithful where we are right now, even when life doesn't look like what we planned. So today, I want to walk us through this chapter using the who, what, when, where, and how study method, and show how this message has met me personally in some of the hardest seasons of my life. Let's start with the who. I actually love beginning here because it helps us understand the people in the story and gives us the context we need. When we pay attention to the who, we gain clarity about the author's intent, the audience receiving the message, and most importantly, what the passage reveals about God's character and sovereignty. In Jeremiah 29, the primary who to me is the people living in exile, along with the prophet Jeremiah who delivers God's message to them. And yes, there are other characters, but I feel these are the primary people. Listen to the opening verses. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining exiled elders, the priests, the prophets, and all the people Nebuchadnezzar had deported from Jerusalem to Babylon. Jeremiah 29:1-4. We can see here that this letter was written to God's people living in Babylonian exile. They had been taken from their homes, from their routines, their sense of normal. Everything familiar had been stripped away. I imagine they were grieving, confused, disoriented, and I get that. I'm pretty sure many of you get that too. When my oldest son Dylan was born at 26 and a half weeks, we had no idea we were about to be launched into our own version of Babylon. Those first 85 days felt like exile, cut off from friends, from family, from work. We were even cut off from the brand new home we had closed on the same day our miracle boy was born. NICU life meant strict visitation hours. Our entire world revolved around those windows of time. Nothing about this place resembled the life we knew, and it was evident normal didn't exist here. Grief and confusion became our constant companions. We were brand new parents trying to make life and death decisions with the help of strangers in the form of physicians, nurses, and specialists, while our son fought to stay alive. Each day brought new blessings, often followed by heartbreaking setbacks. It kind of felt like a Texas two-step, but instead of our feet moving across the dance floor, it was our heart shuffling between hope and devastation as we sat beside his incubator. You see, life felt completely upside down. It wasn't what I prayed for. It wasn't what I hoped for. And becoming parents for the first time in the middle of that exile created ripple effects that touched every part of our lives. But here's what I've learned. Even in the places we never would have chosen, God is still there. He didn't abandon us in that NICU room. He was shaping our faith there, faith we didn't yet realize we would need for the next 20 years. Truth, God's presence isn't limited to the places that feel blessed. He's with us even in Babylon. When we read Jeremiah 29 and understand the who, we begin to find our place in the story too. We start to see how God's promises to his people in exile speak into the places of exile in our own lives and remind us that he is faithful there as well. As we move into understanding the what behind this portion of scripture, remember, our goal is to uncover the original meaning, We do that by paying close attention to the cultural and literary context so we don't misinterpret or draw conclusions the text never intended. Jeremiah's letter carries very specific instructions from God for his people in exile. Listen to verse 4, where we get a clear understanding of who this message is coming from. It says, "The Lord of armies, the God of Israel." This isn't a suggestion. This isn't a pep talk. This is the God of heaven, commander of angel armies, speaking directly to a displaced, discouraged, grieving people. And here's what he tells them in the verses that follow. Build houses, plant gardens, have families, seek the peace of the city. In other words, don't just survive where you are. Live, flourish, be a light. If you notice, God doesn't promise a quick rescue. He doesn't say, "Hang on, I'm getting you out tomorrow." Instead, he calls them to purpose in the middle of the waiting. That's the what. God's people already knew how to survive. What they didn't know was how to flourish in a place they never wanted to be. And friends, God is still giving this instruction to us today. One of the most intense health scares with Dylan happened in 2019 when he became deathly ill with septic pneumonia. I can still see that day as if it were yesterday. His little body was limp in my arms. The fear in that ER trauma bay was thick enough to taste. I remember the moment the medical team lifted him from my arms onto the gurney. I sat in the corner chair, praying with everything in me, so deep in prayer that the trauma team didn't even notice I was still in the room when they began intubating him and initiating life-saving measures. And if you've ever been in a trauma bay, you know that never happens. They always ask the family to step out. But in that moment, I was so still, it was like I had turned to stone, frozen by panic, locked in fear, utterly devastated. It was one of the most out-of-body experiences of my life. My mind knew exactly where I was, but my spirit reached as close to God as it possibly could. As the hours unfolded, Dylan was transferred downtown, and we entered 40 days of battling for his life again. And those 40 days, they felt like another exile. Time felt suspended. Everything in me wanted to fast forward, to get out of there, to return to anything that felt like normal. But looking back, some of the sweetest moments of ministry and peace happened during those 40 days. God met me in every single one of those days, friend. In the silent tears rolling down my face as I watched machines breathe for my son. In the texts, calls, and unexpected visits. In the compassion of nurses and doctors. In the prayers whispered by friends and strangers, and in conversations that turned hospital rooms into holy ground. We rallied, we prayed, we saw God open doors we never could have imagined, because he had us in a place where we had to stop and seek him. We were able to minister to other families sharing those same hospital walls. We dug into scripture, we leaned into community. We learned to meet God not after the trial, but within it. We weren't just surviving those 40 days. We were called to flourish there, just like the people exiled to Babylon in Jeremiah 29. Truth, God's plan isn't always about escape. Sometimes it's about endurance with purpose. He's teaching us to build and bloom right where we are. Hey friends, if you've been enjoying Scripture Adventures, I would love for you to stay connected with all God is doing through this ministry. You can find free resources, updates, and exciting things we're preparing for 2026, including our very first conference. All of this and more is at stacytassenministries.org, and you can follow along on all our social platforms to stay in the loop. And if these episodes encourage you, consider sharing them with someone who might need a little truth and hope this week. All right, let's get back into today's teaching. Just like understanding the who and the what adds depth to Scripture, looking at the when helps us grasp the political, social, and cultural realities the original audience was living in. It grounds the message and reminds us that God speaks into real moments in history and real moments in our lives. What we find in Jeremiah 29 is that it was written around 597 BC, during a time of intense political tension between Babylon, Egypt, and Judah. Babylon was a dominant world power, but the region was unstable. Egypt was stirring up revolts and trying to weaken Babylon's control, and then you had the false prophets only adding to the confusion in their declaring messages with quick deliverance, offering a hope that sounded good but wasn't from God. And they told people, "Don't worry, this exile won't last long." But when we hear what God actually says through Jeremiah in verse 10, "When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise." 70 years, y'all. 70 years. It was a sweet promise, but also a hard one. Because to be honest, many of the people hearing it would never see the fulfillment with their own eyes. And yet, the promise would still come to pass. I feel like sometimes we find ourselves saying something like, "God, I trust you, but can you hurry?" And I want to imagine that he probably wants to respond with, "I'm working, even if you can't see it." This truth has become deeply personal for me as I've witnessed my sister in her battle with cancer. Though the public part of her journey really became evident in 2024, she had quietly been working with specialists since 2022. For nearly 3 years, I've watched her walk through her own Babylon. Not a place she wanted to be, not a journey she would ever have chosen. And yet her unwavering faith has encouraged everyone around her. Melanoma is her exile for now. The harsh reality is we don't know for how long. But what we do know is this: the same God who has been faithful with those in exile and with our precious Dylan has been faithful with my beautiful sister. From ICU rooms to her living room, and even across the globe, people have joined together, calling on the name of God for her. A holy cry, echoing like the songs of angels. Her smile lights up rooms. Her courage strengthens others. Her faith has never wavered. Through her perseverance, she has witnessed to family, to friends, to hospital staff, and even to strangers. She has drawn closer to God, more now than ever before. And yeah, we pray for healing, and we still believe for healing. But we've also seen that God is doing something far more than physical work within her. He's deepened our faith. He's unified our family. He's used friends, family members, many of you listening today, and even strangers to minister through her story. He's used Lacey to draw people closer to him. And you know what else? Every time we come together in prayer and hope, joining our voices as one, it feels like a small glimpse of heaven here on earth to me. Our petitions rise in harmony, echoing the cry of angels and saints who proclaim, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." You see, God has shown us that his timing is never about delay. It's about development. Just as he told the exiles in Babylon, we may not always understand or enjoy the win, but we can trust that his timing is always perfect. Truth, God's promises may not be immediate, but they are always inevitable. Oh, friends, understanding the where is so important in our walk with God. It's not only about the physical locations of a biblical story. it also shows us where God is in the midst of it. Scripture often points to the truth that God meets his people exactly where they are. Jeremiah 29:12-14 is another beloved passage, especially verse 13. But listen to the beauty of the entire section together. You will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you. This is the Lord's declaration. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you. This is the Lord's declaration. I will restore you to the place from which I deported you. Oh, you will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. I love this because it involves us over and over. God's word shows us his desire to walk with us, not at a distance, not conditionally, but in relationship built on love and trust. Then comes the familiar, often quoted verse, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." These statements show us the heart of the where. God is reminding his people that he is findable, that even in exile, even in Babylon, even far from what was familiar, he was there. God didn't say, "When you get back to Jerusalem, I'll show up." He said, "Right there in Babylon, you can find me." And that changes everything, doesn't it? It means we don't have to wait for life to get easier or more normal to encounter his presence. God isn't waiting for perfect circumstances. He meets us in real ones. Life doesn't require a crisis, an exile, a diagnosis, or a valley to draw us near to God. For me, my story with Dylan is just a small chapter in a much bigger story God and I are writing together. And God's instructions to his people then are still his instructions to us now. You will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So what does that look like in everyday lives? For me, I often seek him in the quiet rhythms of my routine. I spend nearly as much time in my car as a traveling salesman, which gives me plenty of space to ponder, reflect, and pray when I'm not getting frustrated at Highway 105 traffic. Amen? Over the years, that driver's seat has become one of my quiet places, a space for honest, friendly conversation with God woven into my everyday. I'm learning to seek him not just when with my needs, but with my praise. Sometimes it's a long, heartfelt outpouring. Other times it's a simple, "Thanks, God," or a whispered, "I know that was you," often accompanied by a big Texas smile pointed toward the sky. And yes, sometimes it's a simple prayer. "Lord, I just need you to be close." And the beautiful truth, he is. Not because my circumstances instantly change, but because he was already there. And when I sought him, I found him. And friend, you can too. Truth, your place of pain can become your place of encounter. We don't have to leave Babylon to find God. He meets us right in the middle of it. All right, I know I skipped over it back in the where teaching, but now we've made it to one of the most quoted verses in all of Scripture, the one found on mugs, journals, graduation cards, and social media posts. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you." After everything we've learned today, the who, the what, the when, and the where, we can finally understand the how. How do we actually live out this passage? How do we apply God's promise in real life circumstances, in exile, in uncertainty, in pain, in waiting? How do we trust a God whose plans are different than ours? Here's the heart of what I've learned. First, we trust God's plan by remembering who He is. He isn't a distant ruler. He's the Lord of armies who sent a letter through Jeremiah because He saw His people, knew their suffering, and had not abandoned them. He hasn't abandoned us either. Second, we live with purpose where we are, even when where we are feels nothing like home. Just like the exiles were instructed to build, plant, grow, and seek peace in Babylon, we learn to flourish in our unfamiliar places. We build what we can, we plant truth where God has placed us, we seek peace in hospital rooms, in long seasons, in uncertainty, in pain, and in joy. Third, we trust His timing even when it isn't our preference. 70 years. God was shaping generations, not just moments. And in the same way, He shapes us through timelines we wouldn't choose. He develops faith in the slow places, not just the miraculous ones. And fourth, we seek Him fully because that's where we encounter Him. Not once they got home, not once life made sense again, not once the waiting was over. Right there in Babylon, right there in the hospital, right there in the car, right there in the tears and the prayers and the quiet rhythms of ordinary life. So, how do we live Jeremiah 29? We walk with God right where we are. God's plan wasn't a promise of comfort. It was a promise of relationship and restoration. He wasn't just saying, "I'll fix this for you." He was saying, "I'll be with you through it, and I will bring you out better than before." When I look back now at my story, at Dylan's story, at Lacey's story, I see God's fingerprints everywhere. And friend, when you look back at your story, I believe you'll see them too. I see His plans for well-being, not disaster. I see His plans for future and for hope. The waiting, the questions, the miracles, the faith stretched and then strengthened again, it hasn't been easy, but it's been holy. Truth, God's plan is not always what we expect, but it always leads us closer to Him. His goodness is not just in the destination, it's in His presence, right now, right where we are. So maybe you're in your own Babylon right now. Maybe it's a diagnosis, or possibly a season of confusion or unrest, a season of waiting, a marriage facing an end, a prayer that hasn't been answered the way you hoped. What if God isn't asking you to run from that place, but to seek Him in it? Because even in exile, He still has good plans for you. Even in hardship, He's still near. And even in the waiting, He's still working. Here's a simple prayer you can use. Lord, help me stop resisting the season I'm in and start seeking You right here, right now. As we close today, I want to read these verses of encouragement over you. Isaiah 40:31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalms 145:19-20. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. And finally, Deuteronomy 4, 29 through 31. But from there you will search for the Lord your God, and you will find him when you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, in the future you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. He will not leave you, destroy you, or forget the covenant with your ancestors that he swore to them by oath, because the Lord your God is a compassionate God. Friends, trust me when I tell you, we serve a good, good God, a God who loves and cherishes us beyond our ability to ever comprehend. Let the lessons from Jeremiah 29 encourage you to seek him in the good and the bad, to trust his promises and his timing, and to obey his commands. He is with you, friend. He is with me, and his plans for us are far more than we can imagine. Until next time, keep seeking the wisdom of God like silver and searching for it like hidden treasure.